Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at SeattleSports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710 and SeattleSports.com. We are live from T-Mobile Park, where the Mariners and the Guardians just wrapped up their three-game series. Mariners will now take to the road, which is probably a good thing right now, Dave, I would say. It's good to get out of town, change of scenery. This did not end the way you wanted it to before you hit the road.
Boy, that was frustrating, man. Watching the, what was it, about a 27-minute half inning? To start the game out?
It felt like 27 days.
Yes. Wild pitches, errors, all kinds of things going on. So, yeah, this is a good time for them to probably get on the road, clear their heads, and try to get some perspective, which we got a little bit of that from Service and George Kirby. So it's seven games. But still, yeah, it was just frustrating. And I think, to me anyway, you know, you think about this team, you think about pitching and defense, and had neither of those. Especially Kirby. I mean, it's a lot of pressure on him. But I just expect excellence from him all the time. Yeah. And then you see that he's actually a human being, and he's not a superhero. So
yeah, it's we'll talk about what happened during these seven games and what worked, what didn't. We'll catch up with Josh Rojas, who was pitching today, which was unique.
It's not a good thing.
You don't know. I guess you'd want to see that if it were, you know, you were up 8-0 in the ninth inning and you don't want to burn one of your own pitchers, then throw them out there. But yeah, generally not a good moment if you got a position player out there on the hill. So
I think it's funny that, you know, that guys like him that are position players actually want to pitch, that are going, like, I think I probably went to Chuck Knox a couple of times and said, hey, if the quarterbacks all go down, I can sling it. Okay.
You've never seen me throw a snowball, Chuck.
Well, snowballs and rocks I'm a little bit better at, but I can spin a football.
I thought you were going to say you offered to kick. Yeah. I can kick.
No, I would never lower myself to that.
Yeah, so we'll talk to you'll hear our conversation with Josh, and we'll talk more about what happened there. You guys can text in throughout the show, 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. We'll come back with something, one of the few bright spots. I know it feels glum now, and it should, and I don't blame anybody for feeling that way, but not everything is awful. We'll get into a couple of those things that are on the positive side. Coming up as we continue live from T-Mobile Park, it's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Text line is there for you, 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Let the therapy begin. We're here for you.
what did you find out on the text toy so far?
People are upset. Some more rational than others.
Read the one guy without the expletives.
Oh, well, let me see if I can find that one and clean it up. You guys, we got to do on-air editing if you're going to throw in the expletives, which, by the way, I don't blame you. I don't blame you for the frustration. I was watching that feeling the same exact way. Let's see. This is from the 360. It says, why is a station do you invest so much airtime to the Mariners? I hate midweek day games. I listen at work. I got to listen to the stupid pregame show, then this bleep show game, then the stupid postgame show.
Come on, man. Who doesn't like midday baseball?
I love it when they win. I don't blame anybody for being upset with today's game. That was a pig of a game. There's no two ways around it. There's no soft selling it. Nothing was good about today. They couldn't hit. They couldn't pitch. They didn't play defense. It was outside of the relief pitching. Yeah. Relief pitching was good. I don't know.
All the damage had been done.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, you know, we knew last night was going to be tough. Now, we didn't get a chance to talk about last night, but the through the seven-game homestand, you've had two good pitching performances. The very first one from Kirby, he was out of this world, and Logan Gilbert. Mm-hmm. And everything else has been mediocre to today, which was the worst of the entire homestand. It was terrible. Luis Castillo has not pitched like an ace in his two starts.
No.
You didn't get a good start out of Bryce Miller. You didn't get a you got a decent start out of Emerson Hancock, but your expectations are different. You're holding him to a different standard as a young guy with three career starts in the five spot. It's not your top of the rotation guy. So he did what you wanted in that spot. He gave you a chance to win. But as far as all the other starts, not good, except for the two we just brought up. And then defense has been a problem this entire time, and offense has been a problem this entire time.
Well, at least one of them we're used to.
Yeah.
Okay, let's stop being cynical now. But no, I mean, that's the thing you're known for, and that's what I talked about at the Open, the frustration because of the defense, you know, the errors, and then the your best pitcher. I mean, I think after that first outing, I'm like, okay, I think that's the ace. And I mean, I know it's a little early to start, you know, naming that, but we've seen, like you said, Castillo with not super impressive outings, and Kirby was just dominant. And so, yeah, you expect that out of him. And it was just weird to see him look out of sorts. So that was maybe just added a little bit of insult to injury. You know, if he'd have pitched a great game and the bullpen gave up, you know, a couple of runs and we weren't able to get the offense going, you'd be okay with that. You're kind of used to that. I was just looking at the numbers so far, and I don't think they have today factored in. But if you look at average on-base percentage, slug, OPS, they're between number 25 and number 29 as far as rankings in Major League Baseball. So you're kind of used to that.
Would that be bad?
It's not good.
Would that be good?
Reminder, Bob, there's 30 teams. so, yeah, I mean, that's I think everybody's kind of used to that. But when the other side goes, you know, pitching and defense, then all of a sudden everybody's like, well, what do we have to cling to? But, again, seven games in. So what did Scott say? I think he said it was halftime of the first game in an NFL season.
Yeah, which it – he's right. Makes perfect sense. If it even is halftime, I mean, you've got, what, 156 games left to play? Mm-hmm. 157?
I don't do radio math, Bob.
Okay. Well, let's see. They played seven. There's 162 games, so 155 games.
Okay.
They got 155.
162 left. Minus seven is still 155?
Still is.
There we go.
Last check at the meetings, that's what they said. But so 155 to go. And at some point, you know, it's still a couple weeks away, but at some point you stop saying it's early.
Right.
There is a point where you go, okay, it's no longer early. We have an idea of what this team is, good or bad. The first seven, you're not impressed. There's very little that stood out in a good way. With one of the exceptions, and we talked about it being a bright spot, and I know, again, people are going to go, yeah, big deal. Ty France became almost like public enemy number one to a lot of fans out there. He stinks. Get rid of him. This guy's no good, blah, blah, blah. He's got a six-game hitting streak. He's got a couple of multi-hit games. He's one of the few bright spots in an offense that is pretty limp right now, if we're being honest. I mean, it just is through seven games, there's not a lot to cling to. There's not a lot of positive happening in the way of the offense. So seeing a guy that when he got up here, everybody loved him because all he did was hit, and then he had a really down season last year, and everybody turned on him and said, he's done, get him out of here. We need a new first baseman, at least for the first seven games anyway. He's looking like the old Ty France. He's making contact. He's hitting the ball the other way. He's going with the pitch. So in that aspect, I'll cling to that little ray of sunshine right there, Dave. He's hitting 320 on the season at this point, whereas I think the next best average on the team is Haniger at 261. Everybody else they're scuffling, to say the very least. Nobody is hitting well. It's just not gone well offensively. It's not gone well defensively.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of that, if we want to pile on the negativity, you know, we're talking about drive line, and hopefully Ty France, that's your ray of sunshine. The other thing, again, I was talking about yesterday, that the defense, I mean, he's a fantastic first baseman. Just, I love it. But, you know, I'm looking at JP's numbers, and he's at 083. So, yeah, I mean, again, early, we'll see if they get it going. But I think this for them to get on the road and, you know, go try to get this one out of their system, probably a good thing.
Yeah, yeah, and it was a bummer today just talking about the defense because, unfortunately, Ty was part of that. Had one go right under his glove.
Yep.
That's a play he makes 9 times out of 10. Today was the one time he didn't, and it happened on a day where the defense was struggling seemingly everywhere else on the field. So yeah. He was part of what didn't happen defensively.
Well, and a lot of plays that normally get made didn't get made today.
Yeah, Polanco had a tough day at second base. Yeah. That one goes right under Ty's glove. So, yeah, it was – just not sharp baseball at all. Meanwhile, the Mariners' first homestand in the books. We'll break down a few other things that stood out to us today. Again, our conversation with Josh Rojas, who is a fantastic conversation. We'll see what ultimately what kind of player he's going to be for this team. But, man, you love hearing from this guy as a fan. We love talking to him. You're going to hear that conversation coming up at 5:30. All of that coming your way here with Wyman and Bob, live from T-Mobile Park. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Have you considered surgery or even joint replacement? Hey, it's Dave Wyman, and before you make that decision, see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, at Seattle Sports and Regenerative Medicine. Why? Because he gives it to you straight. Dr. Wagner said my right knee needs replacement, and I appreciate his honesty and expertise. My left knee is fine right now, but the minute it isn't, I'm heading to Dr. Wagner for his expert opinion. I want to avoid another surgery, and I've heard so many patients rave about results from their 90-minute outpatient stem cell procedure with Dr. Wagner. He's a board-certified Seattle physician with over 30 years of experience and has performed more than 20,000 stem cell procedures, using a person's own stem cells to regenerate cartilage in their own joints. People with severe osteoarthritis, even bone-on-bone, are back doing what they enjoy without pain and without surgery. Whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before choosing surgery, see Dr. Mark Wagner first. Go to drmarkwagnermd.com.
The Mariners Kids Club is 100% free and a great way to get your kids excited for a lifetime of Mariners baseball. Sign up online and your youngster will receive a Kids Club hat, access to early gate opportunities, discounts, and more. Go to mariners.com/kidsclub to join.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Coming up at 5:30, our conversation with Josh Rojas, third baseman and bullpen arm, apparently. We'll talk to him a bit about that. Great conversation with him, in spite of how things went today. He's a fun guy to talk to. So
we told him, we interviewed him last year, said, we really need you to get good, be a really good player, so we can get you on more often.
Yeah, we had, and in fact, did. We were up here. We are currently in the radio booth where the great Rick Riz and Aaron Goldsmith and Dave Sims and the great Shannon Dreher, she points to herself here, occupy this spot during games. But, this is where we spoke to him last year. They brought him up to the booth here, and we had a nice long conversation
with him. Yeah, remember afterwards, he didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
He was, like, hanging around, talking to us. Like,
yeah, he said,
you can go now.
You guys want to go get something to eat? Or
yeah.
what are you guys up to?
No, he is a really nice young man. Really nice. So, he's coming around, and it's a good conversation.
I like the part about him. Well, you'll hear it, but
yeah,
I don't want to give it away. But yeah.
Lefko's looking at you going, yeah, here you I know. Go.
He gets very nervous.
Here you go. Dave's going to blow the surprise.
Luckily, he doesn't have a microphone. That's the way we like Lefko.
That's right. There are only two headsets in the booth. So if you hear Lefko, it's going to be because he's yelling in the background being picked up on our mics. But yeah, it's listen, today we're not going to spin this in anything good. Nothing worked. The offense didn't work. The starting pitching was really bad, and the defense was really bad. There's just no two ways around it. And you look at what they did in these last two games specifically, Dave, with runners in scoring position, and this was a story. This was a topic we hit over and over and over last year and the year before. They just have not been good in those situations. They were 1-for-13 last night in the game that Castillo started. They were 0-for-7 today. And my quick math tells me that's 1-for-20 in the last two games. 1-for-20 with runners in scoring position.
Another quick math. I think that's 5% of the time, Bob.
Good stuff.
Oh, man. That's brutal. That is brutal.
And on top of it, now the big mandate in the offseason, we gotta eliminate, not eliminate, you're not gonna eliminate them, but we need to cut way down on the strikeouts. We're gonna cut way down on that. Teoscar doesn't come back, Gino doesn't come back, Jared Kelnick doesn't come back. They move on to other places in trades, and except for Teo. And so far the story has been strikeouts. They have 74 strikeouts through seven games. That's second in all of Major League Baseball behind the Dodgers, who have played one more game.
Yeah, but that's because the Dodgers have Teo.
That's exactly right. He is single-handedly bringing their total up.
I think he had like 15 strikeouts the last. At one point, he had 24 at-bats and 12 strikeouts. Yeah.
They played one more game than the Mariners, and they only have two more strikeouts.
Right, and it just, yeah, I mean, that was the thing that really dictated what they did in the offseason. It was like we're cutting down on the swing and miss. And, yeah. It's very frustrating. Lots of things not working. I don't know. I don't go into the clubhouse very. I was telling somebody that Jordan Stone. I was telling that I just going down into the locker room or the clubhouse or whatever. When I had to do sidelines for the Seahawks one time in 2004 for Moyer, and I had to go in and do interviews after a loss, and I just hated it. And I know you had to do that as an intern, but you go down there and it's so quiet and everybody's pissed off. And yeah, it's just it's a brutal atmosphere. So yeah,
nobody wants to be in there.
No.
I'm sure you've had friends, and I've got friends who are like, dude, that must be so cool. You get to go in there and talk to the players and go in the locker rooms. I'm like, yeah, after a win, it's not bad, but you don't want to be in there when the team loses. Nobody wants to talk to you. Nobody wants to see you as a member of the media. The last thing they want to do is sit there and rehash what just went wrong for nine innings.
Yeah, Shannon Dreher is a lot tougher than I am. I know that. I do not like going in there. But, I mean, we had obviously last year, I think it was after a loss when we had Gino on.
Was that after a loss?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And then, you know, today, of course, we had Josh Rojas, and they're both just wonderful human beings. So they, of course, did a good job. But no, it's a really, you know, you see Scott and really, you know, when you looked at Kirby when he came in, I enjoyed listening to him. He's got a real intensity about him. And afterwards, I think the last question was like, hey, this is just like seven games in, or is it, you know, this, that, and the other? And he looks right at the guy. He's like, it's seven games.
Yeah.
And it was kind of,
he's got an edge.
Yeah. Maybe it's not good for people that want to talk to him or interview him or whatever, but I kind of like the nastiness of him. But
as long as his teammates don't mind it, then I don't.
Yeah.
Mind. He doesn't have to be nice to me, but if it's a problem with the teammates, then that's a different story. But yeah, it just,
I'm just going to hope that that's not true.
That it's a problem.
Yeah. With his teammates. Look, if he pitches well, and you know, there's been people who don't have great personalities that have pitched for this franchise that, are highly valued. Right. So that's okay.
Yeah.
You can be pissed off every once in a
while. There have been some people through the years that have been less than pleasant to deal with.
There's some pictures out there. Yeah. Some of one guy, anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, very tall, Shannon. I think it might be a lefty. but what it, for you, Dave, I already have my a very clear answer for me, but what's through seven games, most surprising thing?
I think the most surprised that I've been was watching today what happened defensively. Mm-hmm. You know, and yeah, it just guys making mistakes that just typically don't make mistakes. Tie, you know, and then, you know, the Polanco, I mean, the one that went out of his glove, you know, you just, I don't know, you expect him to make that kind of play. Yeah, that was the most surprising. I mean, as far as the stats go, I guess the strikeout one is for sure the most shocking. Mainly because that was job number one, it seemed, last year when they traded away Jared Kelnick and, you know, Teo signs, and, you know, that's they were trying to get rid of that. And Julio was part of that group, but you know, obviously we're not gonna worry too much about him striking out. But then, and then Gino, same thing. So yeah, that the strikeout thing, that's the most shocking thing to me, because I would not have guessed that. And I guess it doesn't seem like it was that bad, but yeah. And the other thing about it is the fact that the Dodgers have Teoscar Hernandez, and he's striking out at they have 74 or 76.
76.
I mean, he's got to be responsible for like a quarter of those by now. But yeah, it's.
He's also got four home runs too. So
yeah, which that was the part of him that we didn't get last year.
Yeah, yeah. For me, it's the defense, and it's not close. I can understand a slow start offensively. I can understand a slow start for a starting pitcher, whether we're talking about Luis Castillo, a guy who's your ace. I'm not that concerned with Luis. I think he's going to be Luis Castillo. Yeah. Has he been sharp in these two starts? No, but I don't know. I've just got confidence in all of these guys. Kirby will bounce back. Bryce Miller is going to be fine. I think everybody's going to be fine. Logan was great in his first start. We'll see how he is in his next one. And then offensively, these are new guys getting in here. It takes a while to find their timing at the plate, their rhythm, all that. So that I don't worry about as much. The defense, that's in your control, man. That's as close to controlling an aspect of this game as you get, is fielding a ball properly and making the right choices and taking the right angles on balls. And, you know, again, today, technically, there weren't errors in the scorebook. They didn't get scored as errors.
Right.
But they were sloppy. They were sloppy. I mean, you saw Sebi Savala throw the ball into dead center field about 12 feet over Crawford's head out there. You had the ball that went right under Ty's mitt. You had a couple of moments with Polanco at second base. I mean, it was sloppy baseball. And then Scott said as much when we were in there listening to him. He was talking about the game it was just not good. And that, to me, is the most surprising aspect, because to me, I don't look at defense as, well, you're kind of finding it as the season goes on, the way you are timing, the way you are when you're working your pitches and getting the right movement on your pitches and your command. To me, those are things that develop. Timing and command develop. Defense is just there or it's not.
Yeah.
And that for me is the biggest, I don't know if it's a red flag. I'm not saying this is who they're going to be all year, but that's the most surprising element of these first seven.
Well, and the one that that Kirby kind of spiked, Zavala, did he have his glove in a kind of the wrong way? Obviously, he didn't expect what was coming in, but yeah, that's something. And then, you know, you think about Perry Hill and what a great job he does. And that's what they've always been about. I mean, you can hear, if you close your eyes, and you can hear Scott Servais saying, you know, pitching and defense wins baseball games, and just something that they're known for. So, I mean, maybe this is a good thing. You know, it's one thing if you just lost by a run or whatever, but it's kind of shocking. So maybe that's something that's kind of like a bucket of cold water over your head that, okay, on this road trip, you know, I wouldn't be surprised based on the character of this team and just the makeup of, you know, we talk about every day about what good dudes these guys are. They're conscientious. They care about each other. They want to, you know, whenever you ask them, what's your favorite play? It's like, whenever I can bail out one of my teammates, got to believe these guys are going to come together on the road and we're going to see a much improved team, you know, based on what we know about them as, you know, character-wise.
Yeah, and you need them to come together because you don't want to dig a hole early that you spend weeks, months trying to dig out of, depending on how long it goes on. They've got to figure out a way to get things happening. You know, you can't rely solely on your pitching just to be dominant and shut down every game. That's just not how it goes, as we've seen. And you've got to be able to pick each other up. When the offense isn't there, you need your starters to dig in. And when your starter is scuffling out there, you need your offense to pick them up. Right. That's how it goes. You know, this is a team game, to throw out the obvious, but you need your bullpen to come out there and do their job. When the starter gives you a good six, sometimes seven, what have you, innings, that's your job to carry that over. And the offense and the pitching has got to pick each other up when one side of it is not happening. But when both of them are not happening, and the defense is suspect today, the only bright spot was really the relief pitching.
Yeah.
I mean, outside of that, I don't know what you're pointing to. It was brutal.
Yeah. It's the 509 brings up something. I think it's kind of interesting. You said, I'm surprised after seven games, the Mariners are actually 3-4 and not 0-7. He said they've been hot garbage offensively and defensively for seven games. Now, I don't know about hot garbage defensively. I mean, it's been sort of checkered. But if you look at the numbers offensively, yeah. You know, I just mentioned the average, the on-base percentage, slugging, OPS, everything between 25 and 30 as far as a ranking in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, they've scored through seven games 17 runs, which is second worst in this division. The A's have scored 15. And they have a minus 14 run differential right now. The A's are minus 29. So they've gotten their tails kicked a couple of times. But they have not been able to score. The only reason they have those three wins is because of what their pitching has done. You know, especially in the first two with Kirby and Gilbert, those first two performances. So if not for those, we could be feeling much worse than we do right now. So I'm glad they're hitting the road. I'm glad there's a day off tomorrow. I'm hoping on the flight out to Milwaukee, Perry Hill is rolling balls down the aisle at the plane, and everybody's got their glove on, and he's bouncing them off the walls of the plane, and like he does the wall at spring training. Yep. I mean, my goodness, that's the one that frustrates me the most, because you can not listen. Some of those plays are tough. Not every play is just routine and easy, but these are the best players in the world. You got to make those plays, man, especially if your pitcher is struggling.
Well, and they typically do.
Yeah.
You know, this has been a good defensive team. 253 says, Dave, refill your meds. They suck bad. JB. Come on, JB. Push the panic button. We'll hear about that from Josh Rojas, by the way. But, yeah, come on.
Hey, switching topics here, which I'm sure some fans will appreciate. The big trade, Stephon Diggs, headed to the Houston Texans. It seemed like him and Josh Allen were such a great tandem, man. They put up some big numbers together, but he's out of there. He's just reading some of the things he said, reading some of his social media. He's a guy that falls into that prototypical stereotype of a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
That he'll let you know when he's unhappy, and he's often unhappy, and everybody is going to be aware of it. And he's very emotional. He fits the stereotype of a wide receiver. Wildly talented, but I think he is what some perceive DK to be, but they're not the same to me. You never hear DK once, not in the entire time he's been here, have I ever heard him gripe about targets. Not once.
No, he never has.
He's been emotional on the field, and it's generally with the opposition. He's getting mad at them, and that, you know, incurs a dumb penalty, but it's directed at the opposition. It's not he's screaming at Geno, or he's screaming at Pete, get me the ball, or any of that kind of nonsense, whereas Stephon's had his moments, and he's made it very clear when he's upset and not happy with how things are going there. And, you know, Lott puts up great numbers. He's wildly talented, but interesting that he's now moving on to another team.
Yeah, he does come off as that guy. And that's the difference between him and DK to me. First of all, running down Buda Baker, does Stephon Diggs make that play?
No.
No, he stops. I'm sorry. He's going to stop and watch it.
I don't know how many people do make that play, to be honest.
Well, I mean, the speed is just ridiculous. But the effort, you know, is really, to me, is what I focus on that play.
Which, DK and Dave Craig, the only two that would make that play.
You're referencing a Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders went, and you've heard this story before, and if you've heard me tell it like three times, God bless you, because I've told it maybe twice in the last 4 or 5 years. But yeah, he picks off a pass and he's like just prancing down the field like a deer. Boing, boing, boing. And I'm watching him and he's got the hand behind the helmet doing the whole thing, the dance all the way into the end zone. And then I hear this thud, 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 thud. And I look around and there's Dave Craig trying to chase him down.
Yeah.
And
it's all
like,
effort.
He's on like the 5 yard line. He's getting ready to score and Dave is still running hard and he's on the 40. Like, Dave, stop. You're embarrassing yourself.
I respect the effort, though.
Yeah. No, you got to respect the effort. You're right.
So those are the only two I could imagine making that play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or at least attempting it.
No, but I mean, look, that speaks so much to DK's character. And I guarantee you there are football coaches or even basketball or baseball coaches or whatever. I mean, you put that on and go, look, this is effort, man. This is a guy that is doing extra work, right? He's so motivated. By the way, that play does end in a hip drop tackle, in my opinion. That he's so different. So when people talk about, you know, DK being a diva, that's where I really will fight back. I'll argue with people on that because I'm like, no. And again, like there's some people, like my wife loves DK. He's the greatest thing ever. And then, you know, I have other people I know that I respect and they're like, oh, I don't really like his personality. But like the only things that he gets in trouble on the field is being too aggressive.
Yeah.
Like he's trying to kill somebody. And, you know, there was a couple of them that were kind of dirty. The one where didn't he bump a guy or something and knock him down? There was
the guy that used to play for the Hawks. Was it Akella Witherspoon?
Yes.
Yes.
Good call.
Yeah. It's kind of a.
It was a little on the edge, but I, you know, I'm okay with that. I'm not okay when somebody is pouting on the field because they're not getting enough targets, and that has not been the case with DK.
No,
not at all. But Stephon Diggs, yes, and look, he's had some monster years in 2020. I mean, he's all pro, 1,500 yards, you know, 8 touchdowns. I mean, he but you could see the body language and how he was interacting with Josh Allen and yeah, just pouting on the sideline, stuff like that. So that's the difference. And, you know, look, they traded him to Houston and I don't know if that was directly because of his behavior or what they want on their team. But, you know, when we talk about receivers, I just think it's an interesting contrast there because DK is so not Stephon Diggs.
Well, and he seems to be a topic. We played that cut. Was it yesterday? From the guy that was talking about, well, would the Chiefs give up number 32 for him? I'm thinking,
well, for
of course
DK.
They
yeah.
would.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Of course they would. Would the Seahawks give him up for number 32? I hope the answer that John would throw out there would be hell no.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, there just seems to be a belief maybe, or maybe it's just kind of, maybe he was just, you know, throwing out hypotheticals. Would they want him? Obviously, everybody would want him, but there's an element of the fan base that thinks trading him would be beneficial to the team, and I just don't understand that at all. I really don't get it. I don't understand why there'd be any urgency to get rid of him. What has he done that would turn somebody off so much that they're like, ah, get him out of here. He's not good. I mean, we're talking about Tyler getting older.
Yeah.
You got a young guy in JSN who looks like he could be really, really good. Outside of that, you don't have certainty. I don't know what – I mean, we talked about it yesterday. Bobo's a fun guy to root for. You like his name. He's this big, slow guy by football standards, yet he's made some big catches. But is that a guy who's going to be a primary receiver for your team? I don't know if I buy that.
Well, I like him. I think it's a great core. But, yeah, taking DK out of that. And, by the way, real quick before we go to break, he runs down Buda Baker. And then we get a stop down there. I don't know if people remember that game. And they stuff him on a fourth down. And then the Seahawks go right down the field and score. And they had a 50-yard run, I think, because of a DK Metcalf block. So he did everything in that whole transaction there. And they end up scoring, and we end up winning the game.
All right. Coming up, despite the loss, we think you'll enjoy hearing from Josh Rojas. He really is such a good personality, and we talked to him after the game. You're going to hear that conversation coming up next with Wyman and Bob live from T-Mobile Park. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Have you considered surgery or even joint replacement? Hey, it's Dave Wyman, and before you make that decision, see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, at Seattle Sports and Regenerative Medicine. Why? Because he gives it to you straight. Dr. Wagner said my right knee needs replacement, and I appreciate his honesty and expertise. My left knee is fine right now, but the minute it isn't, I'm heading to Dr. Wagner for his expert opinion. I want to avoid another surgery, and I've heard so many patients rave about results from their 90-minute outpatient stem cell procedure with Dr. Wagner. He's a board-certified Seattle physician with over 30 years of experience and has performed more than 20,000 stem cell procedures, using a person's own stem cells to regenerate cartilage in their own joints. People with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, are back doing what they enjoy without pain and without surgery. Whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before choosing surgery, see Dr. Mark Wagner first. Go to drmarkwagnermd.com.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you're running the hurry up and don't have time for your favorite Seattle sports show, listen to the podcast on demand.
How about that? Unbelievable.
What a thought.
Every hour, every interview, every look behind the scenes.
It's Geno Smith.
Competition brings out the best in everybody.
If I were a Seahawk fan who wasn't listening to that, I would have to hear that.
Find us on SeattleSports.com, the Seattle Sports app, or wherever you get podcasts.
Oh, it's fun.
It changes everything. Never miss a minute of Seattle Sports, your home for the Seahawks and Mariners.
Wyman and Bob,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio
on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
We are live at T-Mobile Park. The Mariners have wrapped up their series, their first homestand of the season. Seven-game homestand did not end the way that anybody was hoping, as they drop 2 of 3 to the Guardians and they take to the road. They will take on the Milwaukee Brewers, followed by the Toronto Blue Jays. So some cold weather cities, but luckily both buildings have roofs on them, so that's a good idea. We love when that happens, so those games will definitely happen. But despite the nature of today's loss, which was really, really disappointing, we did get a chance to speak with Josh Rojas, who got in at the end of the game and pitched out there, which is never really a good thing when you got a position player on the hill. We talked to him about that and everything else so far through seven games. Here's what Josh had to say. Josh, seven games into the season, I'm curious, we've talked to a lot of players and everybody's got a bit of a different answer, but for you, when do you get a sense of how good a team is or isn't, or you know, we're good at this, we're not as good at that? Is it 30 games into a season? Is it the first couple months? What is it for you?
Man, that's a good question. I mean, I think it happens at different times throughout the year when everything starts to get clicking. You know, I think when you really start to know, you know, how good of a team you have is in spring training. And, you know, I learned pretty quickly we have a really good ball club. Now, as far as, you know, getting it all click together and at the same time and everybody kind of figuring out their roles and how they, you know, fit into the lineup, I think, you know, that sometimes can take a little bit of time. So, you know, knowing how good our ball club is, we all know that already. It's just a matter of, you know, how are we going to go out there and win?
Josh, we interviewed you last year, and afterwards we were like, we need you to get really good so you can be a regular, and you did. And so we love having you, man. But what's the difference between last year and this year? Did, you know, you change teams and everything, and you kind of know that this is home for you, or what kind of clicked for you?
Just, you know, getting a new set of eyes on everything. You know, working with, you know, new trainers, you know, new lifting group. New hitting coaches, you know, it's just a whole new set of eyes. So, you know, I think I kind of started to take that stuff for granted in Arizona. You know, didn't really use the staff as much as I should have. And then, you know, I came over here and everybody, you know, kind of came to me with, you know, ideas of how I could get better. And, you know, I was at the point where, you know, I was having a down year and, you know, I was all ears basically. You know, whatever you got for me, I'll try. And, you know, I did a little bit of it last year and, you know, I've really dove in this year and really, you know, taken in everything they've told me and everything I can do to get better.
What was the homework assignment, if you will, for the off season? Did they give you specifics? Hey, we want you to get bigger. We want you to work on hitting the curveball. We want you to lose weight. What was there anything specific that you were told to work on?
No, there wasn't. It was just really just be the player that I was, you know, before last year. You know, when they traded me over here and I got here, that was the first thing he told me is, you know, we're trading you to, you traded for you to be you and not to be somebody else. And, you know, it was really just, hey, this is what you're doing wrong this year that you weren't doing the year before, which was I was chasing more pitches than I had before in my career. You know, I wasn't hitting the ball in the air as efficiently. You know, not putting the ball in play, wasn't drawing as many walks. So it wasn't anything new. It was just you're not doing it as well, and this is how you can do it better.
When you talk about chasing pitches, and we see that with a lot of different hitters, it's not a unique thing, but is that more about the pressure you put on yourself? I got to come up with a hit here. I'm scuffling. I got to come up with a hit. So you start widening the strike zone?
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly what happens is, you know, you really start really trying to grind for a hit, and, you know, you just start to try to swing itself out of the hand, and you end up chasing more. I think if you're really sold in on your approach and where you want the ball to start, and you're aggressive to that area, and you trust your eyes, and you trust that, you know, the pitch on the outer edge is not the one you want to hit, even though it's a called strike. And you just wait for your pitch to hit. I think that's where, for me anyways, that's where I'm locked in on. I'm not chasing pitches.
Is that maybe one of the hardest things to do as a pro? It seems like just having the ability to lay off of a pitch and wait till the next guy, or let the next guy up in the lineup, you know, do his damage. Is that maybe, because you, when you grow up, probably in high school, you probably batted 600, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're looking to do damage, and then now all of a sudden you have to show restraint. It seems like that would be really difficult.
Yeah, that's the biggest lesson you learn is coming from AAA to the big leagues is these guys know how to pitch. You know, I feel like in the minor leagues, there's tons of guys with, you know, elite stuff, you know, big league stuff in the minor leagues, but you know, they may not use it as well. You get up here and, you know, you got guys with, you know, sometimes they have average stuff, but they're going to throw to your weakness. They're going to nibble on the edge. They're going to stay out of the heart of the plate. And if you chase, they're going to keep throwing you stuff to chase. So, you know, you really got to be stubborn to pitches in the zone here. And, you know, the second you show a guy that you're willing to go off a little bit, you know, a ball off the edge, he's going to go two balls off the edge. You know, you go a ball in, he's going to go two balls in. So, you know, you really got to be stubborn. And you know, you see it with, you know, the staff we just faced. They're going to throw to your weakness, and you got to be willing to take your base hit after base hit after base hit. They're going to do everything they can to stay away from slug.
How hard is it to find your rhythm as a player when you're part of a platoon? You're not in the lineup every single day. So, obviously, you got to make it – maybe that even presents more pressure. I got to make it count because I'm in today. I don't know if I'm playing tomorrow. How challenging is that?
Yeah, you got to stay away from that exact mindset right there is, you know, trying to put pressure on yourself to perform so that you can get in there the next day. I think you got to stay away from that. You know, and I've been there in the past where, you know, especially last year was my first year platooning, and, you know, I felt like I had to get hits or else I was not going to be in there the next day, and it's a recipe for disaster. So you go up there, you control what you control, you put together good at-bats. If you're in there the next day, you're in there. If you're not, you're not. So for me this year, it's just been coming up with a good, healthy routine. I feel like I've done a pretty good job of keeping that routine so far. You know, when to get activated, when to go hit in the cage, you know, what pitches I want to hit, and then go in there and let it fly.
another part of being a pro seems like is handling the frustration. And like today, and I'm wondering what was the most frustrating part about today, because you guys are known for pitching and defense and those things didn't work out. But is that something for you personally that you've had to kind of learn to manage? Because, you know, like Scott was just telling us, we're halfway through an NFL, first game. As far as first game of the season, I mean, it's only 7 games.
Yeah.
So how difficult is that to sort of understand and grasp?
Yeah, I think it takes time. You know, I call it the panic button. You know, how soon are you going to hit the panic button? I think the key is, lay off the panic button as long as you can. You know, obviously when there's mistakes made, like I've had a couple mistakes in the first couple games, you take those and you learn from them and you say, what can I do better? And then you show up the next day and you work on those things. I think if you can take them and as learning experiences, I think you only get better. And then when it comes June, July, you have those things locked in. But if you go out there and you come back after a game and you say like, I can't do this or I can't do that, or I'm not doing this well, you can spiral pretty fast. So I think it's learning, take every experience as a learning experience, and hopefully by the middle of the season, you have all those things locked in.
Last one before we let you go. How is it that you get called on to pitch? Is that established at some point in the season? Hey, if we get in a terrible situation, who's raising their hand to pitch? Or you have experience in your background? How does it come to you to pitch in a game like this?
I got a couple opportunities in Arizona last year before I got over here. So maybe that came into consideration. But, I'm definitely one of the guys that are always telling the staff, Carson, Skip, whenever, hey, if you need a position guy to pitch, I want to be the guy, especially because right now I have an ERA. So I would like that to get lower. I gave up 4 to Philly, and then I actually went scoreless against Cleveland and Arizona, and then I went scoreless today. So I think we're down to 12. I think we're down to a 12 now. So, hopefully – you don't like to be on the losing end of a blowout.
Right.
So hopefully I don't have too many more opportunities. But if they do come around, I'd like to go put out some zeros.
You going to start throwing junk?
I did today. Yeah, I mixed in a couple curveballs today. I stayed away from Jose Ramirez. I knew that was the dangerous guy in the lineup. Tried to nibble, couldn't find the plate. But, my first outing against Philly was all just slow fastballs, and they just kept single after single after single. So I'm not doing that again. I'm trying to get zeros.
There you go. There's Josh Rojas on a mission to get that ERA down, which I think is hilarious. And again, if a position player is in there, things have not gone the right way, unless it's wildly out of hand the other way, where you're up by, again, you're up by yourself in the ninth inning. You don't want to use any of your bullpen arms.
He said he threw a curveball, but I guess nobody noticed.
But ZRA for the season is 0, so that's good.
Yeah.
Threw 11 pitches today, 5 of them strikes, didn't give up a hit. So there you go.
Awesome.
Yeah. So he's, outside of that, in all seriousness, he's just, both times we've had a chance to talk to him, a really cool guy, and you root for him to hopefully, be a guy who can have an impact on both sides, defensively, offensively. Harder to do in a platoon situation, but we'll see what goes on as they hit the road to Milwaukee. Meanwhile, what would we be looking at if the Mariners hadn't rallied on Saturday? We'll get into that with What If Wednesday, coming your way next with Wyman and Bob, live from T-Mobile Park. It's Seattle Sports on 710.
What?
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 It's time for What If Wednesday.
Coach would have put me in fourth quarter. We'd have been state champions, no doubt.
Wyman and Bob rewrite the scripts of major moves and moments in sports every Wednesday afternoon. Now step into an alternative reality with Wyman and Bob.
It is What If Wednesday, and it is presented by Mazda of Everett. Today's what if is not a positive one, Dave. Thank goodness this is a hypothetical, because we're already feeling kind of down about how things ended on this homestand with the Mariners. They are 3-4 headed out on the road, and it could have been worse if they hadn't rallied for that extra innings win against the Red Sox on Saturday. How much worse would the text line be right now? How much worse would we feel at 2-5? It's amazing. It's only one game. But I think the impact would be decidedly different. Do you agree?
Well, yeah, I do, because I think people's emotions have been whipped sort of back and forth. I mean, remember the offseason started off horribly. I mean, that was it was bad. And at that point, remember, we thought we were going to be trading away some of the our pieces as far as pitching goes to get any kind of, you know, free agent. And that was, you know, that didn't come to fruition. Then they went and got Polanco, and then everything sort of started to turn. And then we went down to spring training, and everything was pretty good. We liked what we saw. And then if that happened, I mean, I feel like it would go back the other way pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, the emotions are all over the place. And I think people still, I mean, you know, even though we were talking about, hey, we feel pretty good about spring training and what we saw down there, I still think in the back of most people's minds that are Mariner fans, they're like, I have to see, you know, how they start off and let's see where this goes. And yeah, I think it would have been like going 0-7. You know, I think everybody's emotions would have just been totally out of control. So that's my what-if scenario. What
yeah.
do you think?
I think they would have been, I mean, people are mad right now. And I get it. I don't, as much as we're joking around and laughing about some of the extreme texts that are coming in, I get it. I'm not blaming anybody. Some of you, I'd say, you know, pace yourself. There's 155 games to go, so you're gonna burn out in 20 games in at this rate if you're this angry. It's baseball. I mean, you know, anybody that's been watching this game for any length of time, you get the ebbs and flows of the season. You obviously want to get off to a great start. You want to be positive and feel good about the team right out of the gates. It's not always how it goes. I mean, look, the Astros are 1-5. The Astros now. Yeah. They do have a couple World Series titles to lean back on if things don't go the right way this year. But, you know, you can look at other teams out there, whether it's the Mets who are 0-4, the Cardinals are 3-4, you know, other teams out there that are expected to be good. The Giants are 2-4. The Rockies not expected to be good, but they're 1-5. I mean, we'll see what it's all going to shake out here eventually, and teams will become who they're supposed to be for the most part. And that includes the Mariners, who I think are decidedly better than what we saw in the 7-game series. I think that I feel like they are definitely better than the pitching we saw, because as we talked about, in 7 games, you got 2 starts that you really feel really good about, right? The 2.5, because I'll throw Emerson Hancock in there as a young guy. Yeah, he wasn't shut down. He didn't shut out the opposition, but he's your 5th starter, a guy who gets called up because of injury, and he goes 5+, 5 1/3. Gives up 3 runs, keeps you in the game. That's exactly what you needed.
I thought that was a huge win.
Yeah, that was big. So, so you've gotten 2 dominant starts in Kirby and Gilbert, and then Emerson did his job the way you were hoping for. The other ones, Kirby was terrible today. But this was the worst start of the 7 games.
Yeah, anybody. Yeah.
Yeah, he may have had the best start. And it may have, and certainly had the worst start. So he's been extreme in both ways. And then you had a couple from Castillo that you're like, wasn't awesome. You know, you expect more out of him. He's the rock. He's your ace. You expect him to be better. So that I expect to come around. I'm not worried about it. It's a bummer to see it happen this way right out of the gates. But at this point, I'm not going, oh, great, now they can't pitch. They're going to be a terrible pitching. No, I think they're going to be one of the best rotations in baseball. I think that will remain true. The offense, I believe, will come around. It's going to take some time. The defense is the one that just really frustrated me because, again, we talked about that before. That's in your control right there. You're not going to make every play. Some of those plays are, you know, the Julio play that the ball bounced off his mitt. You could see that ball. He's starting to adjust at the last minute. Like, it started to slice on him, or it started to curve on him. He jumped a little early. Turns into a home run. You're looking at that going, ugh, that's painful. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the routine play. It was a hard hit ball. Ty France makes that play every single time, except for today. And then you had the Polanco gaffes, and you've had a couple gaffes at third base. And there's been more than a few things to point to defensively for this team to go, what is going on? What do you guys do? That's the part where you guys are in control. That's not, you're not relying on the ump. You're not relying on making contact with the guy who's got you buckled at the plate with off speed stuff. That's in your control right there. And that's the part that they haven't taken control of.
Yeah. Oh, your shut up guy came back.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
The shut guy up.
Told him to shut his yapper. Yeah, he was screaming shut up at us again. So
at least he's consistent. That's fine. That's fine. I get it. I'm not blaming anybody for being mad. I totally get it. So we'll see how things go on the road, and as they need to get a few games under their belt before we make a really hard and fast determination as to what kind of team they're going to be. But that is What If Wednesday. It is presented by Mazda of Everett.
All right, that does it for us. I appreciate everybody tuning in. If you missed anything from today's show or any day, all you need to do is head to seattlesports.com, click the podcast tab, scroll down to our picture and click on that, and it'll be right there waiting for you. And as Dave and Lefko tell you every time, click subscribe. That way it's downloaded automatically for you. You never have to go through that process again. Either way, we appreciate you tuning in. We're back tomorrow right here with Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports Station on 710.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.